We'll turn for our scripture reading this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the words of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." So far the reading of God's word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you had to use one word, choose one word to capture the meaning of the sacrament of baptism and the whole theme of the covenant, a commitment would be a good word to choose. At the heart of what we just witnessed in the baptism of Josephine and Marianne, their baptism testifies to God's commitment to them and to their salvation. As the form points out, all covenants have two sides. And so in their baptism, we heard that Josephine and Marianne were also called to answer God's commitment with their commitment. To trust Him, to love Him, to cling to Him. Richard and Christine and Nick and Elise have also made a commitment that they will do everything in their power to teach their daughters the doctrine of salvation. It's really what it means to be a Christian father and mother. It's really what our life together as Christian families is all about. It's why we read and pray together. It's why we teach our children Bible songs and hymns. It's why we bring our children with us to church. Our main job as parents is not to work hard so that our children get to have all the experiences and opportunities and all the nice things that this world has to offer. It's really very simple. Our main job, I'll say our only job as parents, is to make sure that our children know that they belong to the Lord, that the Lord has committed Himself to them and to their salvation, that He expects them to commit themselves to Him. That's what the Bible means when it talks about the fear of the Lord. The book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms both say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a way, of course, in which fearing the Lord means that we are actually afraid of Him. Sometimes we say we shouldn't be afraid of the Lord. Jesus said, it would be wise for you to be afraid of the Lord, who can destroy your body and your soul in hell. We should be afraid to offend the Lord. We should be afraid to disobey the Lord. But being afraid of God in those ways is not the motive, is not the attitude that's at the heart of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord means I obey God because I know Him in Jesus Christ, because I know Him from the gospel. I love the Lord because I see His love. I see His grace toward me in Jesus Christ. I worship the Lord because I see His glory in the universe, and I see it in history, and I see it in my own life. I love Him. I trust Him. He is my life. And so I fear Him. I want to please Him. I want to bring Him glory. I want to be and I want to live like I am His child. That's what Christian parents want to hear their children say. That's how Christian parents want to see their children live. More than anything else. Because that's the way of eternal life. We can even say that is eternal life. And what we hear this morning from Proverbs 4 is a father working out his covenant commitment to teach his son the fear of the Lord. I'm going to preach God's word to you this morning under the theme, a father's instruction to his children, get wisdom. First, because wisdom promises the reward of eternal life. Second, because wisdom shows the way to eternal life. And third, because wisdom holds the key to eternal life. A father's instruction to his children, get wisdom. Because wisdom promises the reward of eternal life, shows the way to eternal life, and holds the key to eternal life. Proverbs 4, you could kind of see that in the way it was laid out in the Bibles. Proverbs 4 is divided into three parts, and it's divided by an expression that is more or less repeated three times, more or less word for word. The chapter opens with the words, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. Then at verse 10, it says, hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. And finally, again at verse 20, it says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your heart to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Well, those repeated lines indicate something to us about Christian parenting. They make it clear, first of all, maybe very simply, that God gives fathers the final responsibility for the spiritual nurture, for the spiritual upbringing of our children. We talk about headship in our homes, but headship, as we tend to think of it, headship is not simply authority. Headship is finally responsibility. Who is going to answer for what takes place in this home? Who is going to answer for what takes place in the upbringing of our children? This is the heart of a father's responsibility to his family, to teach his children the way of eternal life, to teach by his words, to teach that by his example. In the second place, the very fact that Solomon, let's say it this way, has to say it three times gives us also a sense of what parenting is like, what parenting calls for. Parents have to be persistent. Parents have to repeat the same things over and over again. Parents have to be insistent about this with their children as they call their children to fear the Lord. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we face in carrying out this commitment. We are not as determined as Christian parents as we should be. We are not as insistent and persistent about this as we should be as Christian parents. Why not? It takes too much energy. There are other things that we're concerned about, other things we'd rather be busy with, rather be doing, things that seem very important in the moment, because it takes energy. Because it takes away my focus on doing what I want to do, filling my life with what I'd like to fill it with as a father. But Solomon says again and again, remember, fathers, what is at stake in this. Make sure that you teach your children, not just because you want obedient children, not just because you want everybody to say, well, how well behaved those children are, but because you want your children to have eternal life. That's what this is all about. That's what your parenting is all about. There is nothing more important and there is nothing more urgent than this. So God calls parents in that regard, fathers in particular. But God, as we again have witnessed, and as we hear in God's law, as we hear in God's word, God makes his covenant with children, with the children who are sitting here. God's talking to you here in Proverbs 4. Because as God's covenant partner, you also have a responsibility. Of course, Josephine and Marianne are too little to understand. But you, the ones who are sitting here, the ones who are listening right now, you are old enough to understand. You're old enough to take this in. To know that God speaks to you. God says to you, listen carefully. Think about what I'm going to say to you, so that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. I'm telling you now, the Lord says to us, the Holy Spirit says to us, I'm telling you now about the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. That means I'm talking to you about salvation from sin and the gift of eternal life. In verse 3, Solomon says, I'm going to teach you what my father taught me. Our Bibles say, when I was a son with my father. Solomon literally says, for I was a son to my father. I was a son to my father. That doesn't just talk about a biological relationship. It talks about the good relationship that Solomon says he had with his father when he was young. I respected him. I honored him as my father. And when I look back on my years growing up, I remember my father teaching me about the Lord when I was just little. Those are the most important years when it comes to shaping a child's mind, when it comes to shaping a child's character and priorities and setting them in the right direction. Those years when they're small, those years when they're little. We know now that even in their mother's wombs, children hear things and children remember things that they've heard while they're in their womb. They remember them after they're born. Everyone knows that what children learn the first few years of their lives shapes the kind of people they become and the kind of lives they live. And that's the way God made us. That's the whole reason why he gives children to parents. We pray to have children. We love to have children. It's a nice for us, we would say. We find it fulfilling. There are all kinds of things for us, we could say, that we typically see, first of all, in receiving children. But God says in Malachi 2, when God made the two of you one and gave you his spirit, what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. We talk about God working through the generations And this is really what that means. It means God gives children who are conceived and born in sin, subject to all kinds of misery, even to condemnation. That's what we said. That's what we asked the parents to acknowledge about their little daughters. They are conceived and born in sin, subject to all kinds of misery, even condemnation. Our children are subject, if they do not repent and believe, if they are not born again, our children are subject to condemnation. And God entrusts those children who are subject to condemnation because of their sin to the parents. And he says to the parents, teach these children the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, because I seek through you godly offspring. That's how I bring children to faith. I use your instruction as parents to shape them into believing, loving, worshiping children of God. And this is what we have to say to our children. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and you will live. It's a life and death issue. And you see the target, you might say, of the father's teaching. What are fathers aiming for? So often again, our aim is that our children would obey us and our children would be well-behaved and well-mannered. And those are wonderful things. Those are good things. But that's not the target of the father's teaching. That's not the whole purpose of parenting. This father in Proverbs 4 is not just looking for obedience. He's not just looking for control over his children. He talks about his son's heart. And he wants his son's heart to be for God. He says, children, grab hold of this with your heart. Love the gospel. Trust God in Jesus Christ. Keep my commandments and you will live. Again, we say that's what this is all about. It's about life. Really, the father is saying, my son, I don't want you to die. We have elsewhere in the book of Proverbs the question, discipline your sons, for in that there is hope. Why would you be, by not disciplining your children, by not training up your children, why would you be a willing party to your child's death? By carrying out this commitment, fathers are saying, my children, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to suffer the misery or the condemnation that you are subject to as a sinner. I want you to live forever. So children, get wisdom, get insight. That has to be our goal as we raise our children. We worry so much about how they do at school. We worry so much about what their report cards look like. We get all wrapped up as parents in making sure they learn hockey skills and soccer skills and play games and learn all kinds of things like that. We want our children to learn math and grammar and history and power skating. But sometimes it seems like we don't understand those are not the main event. That's not what childhood, that's not what training our children is all about. That's not the best thing that we can give our children. School and the sports field and the arena and the laboratory, wherever they go, all the rest. Those are all places, those are all occasions. This is the reason why we put our children in these things. It must be as Christian parents. Places where they will learn and they will live out the fear of the Lord. That's the only good purpose education or any other experience can have in their lives. In everything we do for our children, with our children, to our children, our great concern is get wisdom. Learn to know the fear of the Lord. I want you, this is what this wisdom does, I want you to understand yourself, my child. I want you to understand the world in which you live. I want you to understand. I want you to have insight into why people do the things they do, why people live the way they do, why they pursue the goals they do. I want you to know God in Jesus Christ. I want you to live with purpose. I want you to know where you're going with your life and not just go with the flow and do what everybody else is doing. The reality is everyone has goals, and our goals determine what's most important to us. Our goals determine what kind of education we get and we give, how we spend our money, where we choose to live, what career or what trade we pursue. People set their hearts on being wealthy. People set their hearts on having fun in life. People want to be powerful. People want to succeed in one area of life or another. And they want those things because they believe in those things. Because they believe those things hold the key, will give to them the life they want. You might not think so at first, but even lazy people have goals and set out to achieve them. They think doing nothing, doing as little as possible, is going to make me happy. And that's what they do. They do nothing or they do as little as possible. Well, Solomon said, this is wisdom. This is insight. This is understanding how to live. You set your heart on the goal of serving the Lord, fearing the Lord, glorifying the Lord. You set your hearts on that goal and you believe in that goal too. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. It's your highest priority. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Solomon's not talking in the first place about the praise or the honor you will get from people. He's talking about real honor. Wisdom that begins with the fear of the Lord, that is worked out in obedience to Him and faith in Him. Wisdom will make you honorable, whether people praise you for that or not. When you walk in the way of the fear of the Lord that is honorable, then you live a beautiful life. Wisdom will place a garland of grace on your head. Well, what is a beautiful life? Our culture says a beautiful life is all about what your face looks like and what your body looks like and what kind of clothes you can wear, what kind of home you go to live in, what kind of experiences you can have, how much pleasure you can enjoy. They focus on the outward things because they can't make themselves truly beautiful. Their thoughts and their ambitions and their attitudes are ugly because they revolve around themselves. Real beauty has nothing to do with what we look like. Beauty, real beauty, is what we are like. Real beauty is in how we talk and how we treat each other. A beautiful life is a life of holiness and worship. Get wisdom, says Solomon, because she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. That's how the Lord Jesus and His apostles talk about eternal life. Jesus says in Revelation 2, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." James says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So easy for us as parents, and certainly for us as young people and children, to go with the flow. So easy just to get caught up in the way our culture around us lives and adopting their values and the things that are important to them. That's easy. But the easy way, Jesus says, the easy way leads to destruction. The way that leads to eternal life is hard. It's a conscious choice. It's a choice against your instincts, against the flow. As the Lord Jesus was coming to the end of His Sermon on the Mount, He said, enter. He's given all this instruction about where life can be found and how we ought to live in this world. And then He says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. You know, sometimes when you ask somebody for directions to a certain place, they'll tell you all the directions, and at the end they'll say to you, you can't miss it. You take that road so far, you turn in that direction, you look for that house, you look for that building, that landmark, you go about 3 more kilometers, and there it is on your right-hand side. You can't miss it. Well, Jesus has been giving the directions to the way of eternal life. But he does not say to us, take it easy. You can't miss it. He says the gate you need to find is hard to find. The gate you need to find is narrow. The way you have to go is a hard way. Against the flow. A different way. And if you don't keep your eyes open, if you don't watch very carefully where you're going, you're going to miss it. Most people miss the way to eternal life. Jesus talks about the many and the few. And we have to think about that. Most people choose the road that leads to destruction. Even now, even when they can see the destruction that road leads to. You can see that all around you. You can see the destruction of human lives. You can see the destruction of families and marriages. You can see the hopelessness. You can see the emptiness of the life of the world around you. And still, people choose to go that way because that's easy, because everyone's going that way, because it makes sense to them to go that way. Many follow that way. Only a few find the narrow gate. Only a few will choose the hard way that leads to life. That gate is narrow, and that way is hard because by nature we don't want to go that way of self-denial, that way of cross-bearing. Wisdom says, I promise you eternal life. But we look at wisdom, we look at the way it's telling us to go, and we say, that looks hard. That doesn't look like it's much fun to have that kind of family life and to have that kind of thing directing your whole life and not being able, therefore, to throw ourselves into all the things everybody else is doing. And you know, I don't see anybody else taking that way. Jesus says, following the crowd and going with the flow will not lead you to life. You will not arrive at eternal life unless you look for the way, unless you choose the way, unless you stay on the way that is hard. And this is what Solomon says in the next section of Proverbs 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words that the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Now, when I'm driving someplace that I've never been before, I'm constantly checking my GPS. Used to be constantly checking my road map. I want to be sure, am I on the right way? I don't know exactly where this place is. I want to make sure I'm on the right road. And that's the life advice that fathers should pass on to their children. As you live your life from day to day, as you develop your routines and your habits of life, constantly check, constantly make sure you're still headed in the right direction. Make sure you don't enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Don't get caught up in the way of the world. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Repeated warnings. You get the sense of how dangerous this is. Turn away from it and pass on. for they cannot sleep unless they've done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they've made someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The world gets what it wants by way of pleasures, by way of possessions, by using other people, by doing whatever it takes to get them. There is no blessing. There is no life in that life. But even if their way is hard, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. The dawn increases. The dawn gradually comes, until beginning with little glimmerings of light until there's full light. That's the life of the righteous. It shines brighter and brighter until full day. When you walk in God's ways, that brings light into your life. So you see things clearly because of that light. And you find joy in your life. More and more your life is lifted up. More and more your life together is redeemed from the power of sin. Solomon is talking about the beauty of the Christian life, about the optimism, about the hope that a believer has that grows stronger and stronger as life goes on, because he's focused on receiving the crown of life. And we see this when we speak to elderly believers. There is nothing more beautiful than a believer whose life has been transformed by the grace of God. There's nothing more beautiful than a believer who's been brought to maturity in Jesus Christ through suffering, through endurance, by living by faith in God's promises. Death is ugly and death is hard, but there's nothing more beautiful than a believer who dies full of expectation because he knows what God has promised him. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. When you stumble in the dark, of course, you can't see what you've stumbled over. That's how it is for the wicked. They don't understand where they went wrong. They don't know why their family is such a mess. They don't understand why they're so dissatisfied with what they've accomplished, what they gained, what they've accumulated. They worked so hard and they gave up so much to have it all. But when they have it all, it seems so empty. You see that? God shows that to you. Why would you ever want to go down that road, asks Solomon. Why would the children of the Lord ever want to trade the way of the Lord for the way of the world? We can see, like trying to walk in deep darkness. You can see there's no life, there's no hope, there's no outcome in it. Once more, Solomon says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So let me give you the key to finding the way to eternal life and staying on the way," says Solomon. Here it is. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it, from your heart, flow all the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward. Let your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." For the world, the heart is where our emotions live, where our feelings come from. And those feelings and those emotions can come and go and rise and fall. But for the Bible, our hearts are where our desires live, where our priorities come from. What do we worship? What lives in our hearts is what fills our thoughts and what fills our time and what gets our attention and what directs our lives. Jesus says in Luke 6, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. People may say all kinds of things about what's important to them, but you can see, and they can see what's really important to them if you look at their lives. If you look at how they work and you look at how they play, when you look at what fills their time and what empties their wallets, when you do business with them, when you work for them or they work for you, what you hear when you listen in the conversations with their husbands and their wives and their children and their friends. Start out by listening to yourself. Start out by looking at your own schedule and your own bank account. Start out by listening to your own conversations. You need to do that so that you are aware of what lives in your heart. These things will tell you what you really love, what you think is going to make you happy and safe, and what you do to other people around you in order to get what you want. Solomon says, watch out what you love. Watch out what you set your heart on. Watch out what you allow to become important to you. But we don't have the strength or the wisdom to genuinely guard our hearts and bring our hearts under control. And so we pray with David in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God answers that prayer. We heard his promise again this morning. When we are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit assures us by this sacrament that he will dwell in us and he will make us living members of Christ, imparting to us what we have in Christ, namely the cleansing from our sins and the daily renewal of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without the stain of sin among the assembly of God's elect in life eternal. That's the good news that Richard and Christine and Nick and Elise can give to their children. Here is finally the wisdom that we need to teach them, the wisdom they need to get. Turn away from sin. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will have eternal life. Listen to his voice. Submit yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit by being attentive to the preaching of the gospel, so that you come to know Christ in all his glory, so that you come to know God as he shows himself to you and gives himself to you in Jesus Christ, in all his mercy and grace, and walk in the way that the Spirit leads you, the hard way, the way of love, the way of self-denial that leads to life. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, it seems as though we live so much of our lives unconsciously, that is to say, unaware of the direction in which we are going, unaware of where our footsteps, where our daily priorities and practices will actually lead us. It's so easy for us, without realizing it, to let go of this great priority and get caught up in small things, in things that are not meant to provide us with life and will not do so. Father, it's so easy for us to be caught up and miss the way. We pray, Lord, will you forgive us for our foolishness? Will you forgive us as parents for so often missing the mark, confusing our children about what's important by the example we set, by the things with which we fill our time? We ask, Father, will you help us to rededicate ourselves to that which is most important of all, that we would lead our children, urge our children to get wisdom, to get insight, and to walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Father, we pray for your blessing on the parents in this congregation. We pray for young parents that they may start out in the right way. And we pray for parents of teenagers that they may recognize that you are at work also in their children's lives, that they may be diligent and they may be faithful also in instructing these young people as they begin more and more to make their own decisions and choose their own way, you might say, to urge them, to plead with them, to walk in the Lord's ways. We pray for grandparents as they look at what you have done through their lives, as they rejoice in the faith of their grandchildren. We pray, Father, for the children, that they may take this up, that you will work in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. We pray for parents whose children have gone astray and who may reproach themselves for it. We ask, Lord, would you work in the hearts of those children, and would you bring them in their circumstances to repentance and to faith? So, Father, we pray, will you grant us the blessings of walking in your way and instructing our children? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.